Well, good morning. Today we're going to take a one-week break from our series through the Gospel of Mark and have a standalone message this morning that is going to include at the end a specific commitment from the elders to the Centerpoint members. And our prayer is that you walk away realizing how much your elders really do love and care for you. So that's our prayer for this morning. Churches can have a tendency to deteriorate. Like families, marriages, and relationships, unless regularly tended to, they will decline. Growing up in Wheaton, Illinois, much like here in Texas, there were churches on just about every corner. And there's one church in particular, and I can picture it like it was yesterday. It was a huge, beautiful building on a great piece of property in a prime location. And they had all sorts of different ministries going on there. Their parking lot was always full during the week, especially on Sundays. And I mean, just clearly thriving ministries. Well, upon our first return back to Illinois after my family had moved here, we went back to visit some friends and family. I drove by that particular church, only to find out that it is now the Islamic Center of Wheaton. Quote, committed to preserving an Islamic identity, building and supporting a viable Muslim community. The once thriving church at that location had deteriorated and was forced to close its doors and sell. Now, I have no idea as to all the reasons why that church had to close its doors, but far too often we see or hear of local church bodies crumbling or collapsing as if there was no foundation to stand on. And our hearts sink and we are saddened when we receive word of yet another local church split. Or maybe even worse, that local church dissolving altogether. Chris and I, just last week, were talking to some pastor friends who had asked for prayer for themselves and for their church body because they were facing a difficult situation and they're doubtful that they're going to survive this particular situation. And this is a church very close to us here. And nobody wants to see or hear of that happening. We certainly don't want that to happen here at Centerpoint. So how do we prevent that? God has truly blessed us here in incredible ways at Centerpoint Church. And all glory to God with that. But we have a lot of really good things going on here, right? I mean, even just this afternoon, we have a church picnic where young and old are going to go and fellowship and laugh and play games and just have a great time together. We have a children's ministry that is just busting at the seams with little kids who are being discipled and taught the Word of God. We just recently wrapped up a ministry where we had the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ every week to kids at a public school just down the street. We have a thriving Awana program. And our vacation Bible school this summer is going to be just awesome. I mean, we really have a thriving, growing children's ministry. We also have a fantastic youth group with an amazing youth pastor who loves and teaches and disciples our youth. We have solid, in-depth Bible studies that go on each week. Truth Seekers Bible study on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Verse by verse teaching through the Word of God. And on Sunday mornings, and on I could go. God has truly blessed us here at Centerpoint. Are we a perfect church? Of course not. We aren't perfect, but we do have a lot of really good, exciting things going on here. So how do we maintain that? How do we maintain a healthy local church body? Certainly, there are some practical things we can do to maintain a healthy local church, right? I mean, we could talk about staffing issues, money management, facilities, and And there are a lot of other things needed, it seems, to maintain a healthy church. I mean, imagine if we had no nursery here at Centerpoint. We'd have like 100 kids crying in the service. Or the parents, burned out parents, rocking them in the back, as my wife's rocking our littlest in the back. But what if there was no air conditioning or no parking? All of those things are very important for helping to keep churches healthy, but none of them are specifically or maybe even indirectly addressed in Scripture. So we can acknowledge that yes, there are a lot of things to go into keeping churches healthy. And churches all around the world have their own views as well. But we believe the writers of Scripture go after something far more fundamental than any of those things just mentioned. So this morning, we're going to look at two different texts in Scripture where we will see what we believe here at Centerpoint to be two major components for a healthy church. One component concerns the responsibility of the elders and the church leaders. And the other component concerns all of us. But without these two components together, like a structure without a foundation, it will crumble. So this morning, we're going to take a good, hard look at those two major components needed to help us maintain a healthy church. And as I mentioned earlier, the first component addresses the responsibility of the elders and leaders of the church. Now, some of you may not know, but we have 8 men who serve as elders here at Centerpoint. And I wanted to put a picture up, but I forgot to get it at our meeting yesterday. All right, but let me list them for you. We have Mark Yarbrough, Wayne Walker, David Hines, Bob Yarbrough, John Finkley, Chris Lessig, Steve Bergstrom, and myself. Okay, I didn't miss anyone, right? 8. So those 8 men serve as elders here at Centerpoint. Now, the first component of a healthy church here at Centerpoint falls heavily on the shoulders of those 8 men. A responsibility we desire to shoulder. A responsibility we accept with great humility. And a responsibility we by no means take very lightly. From Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. From this verse, we are going to see that the elders are called to actively and intimately shepherd the flock. Okay, that's the first major component of a healthy church that we're going to look at this morning. In order to maintain a healthy local church body, the elders must be actively and intimately shepherding the flock. Now, let's unpack that a little bit. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. But before I read it aloud to you, let me just give you a quick, brief background or some context, okay? Paul is traveling and he's on his way to Jerusalem and he's in a hurry, the text says, which causes him to have to sail past some of these areas where he has planted some local churches. One of those churches was Ephesus, and although he didn't stop there, he had some final parting words, or a final charge, if you will, to the team of elders and leaders at that particular church. So he calls these elders, also referred to as overseers and shepherds, he calls these church leaders from Ephesus to the town where he is currently staying, and these are some of the final words he has for these church leaders. Acts 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. In order to maintain a healthy local church body, the elders must actively and intimately shepherd the flock. Now, what does that look like? Well, first, the elders are charged to keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over yourselves. Make sure you are right with God. You see, one is not ready for ministry to endure what is involved in ministry, to face the responsibility of ministry, unless they are right with God. And there are several other passages in Scripture that speak to this as well. One of them being 1 Timothy 4:16, which commands church leaders to keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right. Keep a close watch on how you live, which means we're to watch over our character and our conduct. And Paul lists a whole bunch of character qualities that ought to describe an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and again in Titus chapter 1. But elders are to keep watch over their character and their conduct. Why? Because they are, according to 1 Peter 5, to lead as example. Where the shepherds lead, the sheep follow. Elders also need to keep watch over their teaching and their doctrine, their beliefs. They are called to be faithful to Scripture, to continue reading and studying God's Word. Keep watch over yourselves. Robert McShane, a minister in the Church of Scotland during the mid-1800s, said this: "A holy man is an awesome instrument in the hand of God. A holy man is an awesome instrument in the hand of God." That is so true. The Apostle Paul makes that point at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul makes it clear that he knew that the day that holiness ceased to be a part of his life, effectiveness also ceased. We are only useful to God as long as we live a holy life, as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, as there is purity in our life. God uses holy instruments. But unfortunately, most of us can think of a headline or a local church that has split or closed its doors because of this very issue. We see someone, be it a pastor or an elder in ministry, who's involved in so many things, just so very active in the church and all kinds of good things. I mean, really good ministry. And then all of a sudden, some great and terrible moral failure comes into his life. And we've all seen or heard of this happening, haven't we? And there's always a huge ripple effect among the body he serves. You know what happened? What happened was simply the fact that this whole area of watching and guarding his life, he let slip. We use the phrase, he let his guard down. As elders and leaders of the local church here at Centerpoint, part of actively and intimately shepherding the flock involves personally making sure we are right with God. Don't let your guard down. Keep watch over yourselves. But personally, walking with the Lord is just half of it. The elder's responsibility to actively and intimately shepherd the flock involves both keeping watch over yourselves and keeping watch over all the flock, which involves shepherding. Elders are called to be shepherds of the church of God. Now, in our non-agrarian society here in Mesquite, that image of the shepherd with his sheep might not mean as much to us as it did to the writer of whom this book was written. But one of the most frequent pictures of believers in the Bible is that of sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep, you know that's not much of a compliment, if a compliment at all. You see, sheep are known to be dependent and dirty and defenseless and just downright dense, to put it nicely. They can't even find their own food source, like most other animals God created. In fact, if not led by the shepherd to other green pastures, they will stay on the same food plot and eat the green grasses down to the roots, thus killing off all the food source. They're also extremely timid creatures with few to no survival skills. I mean, just the mere sound of running, life-giving water frightens them. Just the sound of running water. So a good shepherd must stop up a portion of the stream to create quiet or still water just for the sheep to be able to approach the stream and drink. Clearly, sheep need a shepherd. And praise the Lord that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd, our great shepherd who loves and cares for each one of us. In fact, his care and love was so much so that he bought us. his church with his own blood. Elders have been appointed by the Holy Spirit as overseers, as Christ's under shepherds, to actively and intimately shepherd the flock. Now, there are at least three major implications for a shepherd. Right? A shepherd is to feed, nurture, and protect the flock. Feed, nurture, and protect. Now, many of you may feel fed, nurtured, and protected. And if you do, that's great. That's very encouraging to the elders. But we realize that many of you may not feel that way. You may not feel fed or nurtured or protected. You see, this has become a real challenge for us as we have grown. And thus we recognize this requires much more intentionality on the part of the elders than maybe it has in the past. And I'll talk a little bit later how we as elders plan to do this more intentionally moving forward. But let me first touch on those three implications for a shepherd. The heart of a shepherd, or the main emphasis of a shepherd, is to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's why 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:9 both mention that an elder is to be able to preach and teach the word of God. Our job as Christ's under shepherds is to feed you all the word of God. And that is why every ministry that goes on here at Centerpoint includes the teaching of the word. God uses his word, spoken and taught by his people, to help his sheep remain healthy and to grow in their faith. So a shepherd is to feed the sheep. Second, the shepherd is to nurture the sheep. Now, nurturing requires caring for just about every aspect of the sheep's well-being. Anything from discipline to binding up wounds to exercising authority to guiding them to encouraging them. One of the major ways elders can nurture their sheep is by encouraging them to get involved, to serve and to exercise and develop their spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. Nurturing might involve counseling or intervening in times of crisis. And it might just be providing practical assistance. But in any case, an effective shepherd needs to be observant and pay attention to the condition of the sheep, because there will be times when the sheep need some extra attention. In order to actively and intimately shepherd our flock well, we elders must nurture the sheep. Now, I can remember when Kendra and I were still living in Illinois, we were members of a church that we really loved. And one of the ways we served there was we both co-directed, co-led a ministry called Faith at Home, okay, which was just a ministry where we put on several seminars through the year and taught on a specific topic or aspect related to parenting. Now, I can remember after teaching some of those seminars, having some leaders of the church coming up and really encouraging me and saying, you know what, Andy, I think you have a real gift here. Have you ever considered full-time vocational ministry? And at that time, I really hadn't. But they came alongside of me and they encouraged me and helped me develop that gift and to use that gift at our church in Illinois. But I can't tell you how much I felt loved and cared and nurtured for by the leaders of that church. A shepherd is to nurture the sheep. Now, third, a shepherd is to protect the sheep. Right? A major responsibility of a shepherd is to guard the flock from any and all predators. Look with me at Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day, with tears. Now, in the ancient Near East, wolves were one of the primary enemies of sheep. Hunting alone or in packs, they were constantly a threat. And as I mentioned earlier, sheep are defenseless and thus extremely vulnerable. Shepherds could not afford to relax their vigilance. And nor can elders. In his book titled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, a shepherd, says that he has heard of two wild dogs that killed 292 sheep in a single night. Well, one morning of his own, at dawn, he found nine of his choicest ewes, all soon to lamb, meaning they were pregnant. But all nine were lying dead after a cougar had attacked the flock in the night. From then on, he slept with a loaded rifle and a flashlight near his bed. And then at the slightest, least sound, he would leap from his bed, grab his rifle and flashlight, and dash out in the night to protect his sheep. And that's a picture of the job of godly elders. Always alert, always on guard. Because the flock is precious to God, since he purchased it with the blood of his own son, elders must guard it from spiritual wolves that would destroy and wound the flock. Great dangers always await the church. It's lurking around every corner, both from within and without. False teachers, with both their subtle and not so subtle heresies, are rampant today. Many of them slowly begin to speak twisted and distorted things about Scripture. And unless elders are spiritually alert and thoroughly biblical in their vigilance, the wolves may decimate the flock. And so part of actively and intimately shepherding the flock involves protecting the sheep. And so component number one for maintaining a healthy church is for elders to actively and intimately shepherd the flock, which means they watch over themselves, making sure they're right with God and leading by example, and watching over all the flock, ensuring that all the flock is fed, nurtured, and protected. But we said there were two major components of a healthy church that we're going to discuss this morning. And we mentioned that while the first component here at Centerpoint falls on the shoulders of the elders, the second component concerns all of us. From Hebrews 13:17, we are going to see that in order to maintain a healthy local church body, the flock, that's all of us, is to submit to their shepherd's leading. The flock is to submit to their shepherd's leading. Listen as I read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, this is in no way saying that we run an authoritarian dictatorship here at Centerpoint. You must obey the elders. Okay, that's not what we're saying at all. In fact, the obedience and submission here is not really to men at all, but to God, as He rules through His Spirit controlled and appointed under shepherds. But the elders can actively and intimately shepherd the flock to the best of their ability all they want, watching over their own character and conduct and watching over all the flock by feeding and nurturing and protecting them. But if the flock does not submissively respond to their shepherd, the flock, like a structure without a foundation, will crack and deteriorate and crumble. And it's difficult to submit sometimes, isn't it? I mean, especially around here where anyone and everyone could drive to any number of churches just down the street. Why submit? But you don't have to submit to anyone. Just stay on the move, right? Church hop. Or you don't even have to leave physically. Just keep to yourself. Never open up to anyone. You can just slip in and slip out on a Sunday morning. But that doesn't help us maintain a healthy local church body. You see, it takes every one of us to do that. We all must play our part. So how can we submit and help enable this process? Well, one, we can submit to the shepherd's feeding by listening and applying God's word that is taught here. Okay, don't just let it slip through one ear and out the other, or let it be just a Sunday morning message. Apply it. We can submit to the nurturing care of our shepherd by being honest with them, by trusting them and listening to their counsel. If they ask how our spiritual walk is with the Lord, be open and transparent with them. If they encourage us to use our spiritual gifts and serve the body, listen to them, because they know that the body is healthier if we do. If we are to be reprimanded and disciplined, respond in repentance and humility. The flock, that's all of us, is to submit to their shepherd's leading. And I praise God. I really do. I praise God that of all the great joys I have, one of them is the fact that this church, the flock here at Centerpoint, are submitted to the elders. And that when the elders decide something, there's just a beautiful kind of spirit of obedience and submission. We just don't have the kind of problems I hear of other churches having, where people buck and fight and scratch against things that are decided. Thus, it truly is an absolute joy for us as elders to serve you here at Centerpoint. It really is. So thank you. Thank you. And keep it up. So how do we maintain a healthy local church body? We learned from our scripture passages this morning that there are two major components to consider for a healthy church. Component number one is for the elders to actively and intimately shepherd the flock. And component number two is for the flock to submit to their shepherd's leading. Now, is it a guarantee that if we do those two things, Centerpoint will never have any problems and we'll just thrive for years and years until the Lord returns? No, it's not a guarantee. But if we don't do either one of those things, we will eventually crack, deteriorate, and crumble. Now, in light of everything we just heard, here is the elders' commitment to the members of Centerpoint. Okay, here is our commitment to you. As Centerpoint continues to grow, we as elders feel that we want to up our game, so to speak, in order to continue to adequately care for Centerpoint members in an even more organized and intentional way. The elders aspire to continuously keep watch, to actively and intimately shepherd the flock, as Paul instructed in Acts chapter 20. And so in order for us to be more intentional in caring for all members of Centerpoint, here's what we've done. We've assigned an elder or staff member to each one of you. Okay, we've assigned an elder or staff member to each one of you. For those who are in small groups, you already know who you've been assigned to, your small group leader, who's under direct oversight of an elder as well. But for those who are not in a small group, here's what you can expect. Within the next 2 weeks, okay, the next 2 weeks, you will be contacted by the elder or staff member that you are assigned to. All right, in the next 2 weeks, you'll be contacted by the elder or staff member that you are assigned to. And if for some reason you're not contacted in the next couple of weeks, please let Chris or myself know, because we've checked, double-checked, and triple-checked our rosters here to try and make sure everyone is accounted for. However, mistakes happen. Okay, so if you're not contacted in the next 2 weeks, it's not because we want to care for everyone but you. Okay, that's not the case. Okay, our passage in Acts said that we are to care for all the flock. So again, in the next 2 weeks, you ought to be contacted by an elder or a staff member. And if you're not, let Chris or myself know. Okay, now here's what else you can expect from this. Those who have been assigned oversight, elders, some staff, small group leaders, they are charged with shepherding you and your family. Okay, now what does this involve? Simply put, it involves what I just preached on, right? Being fed, nurtured, and protected, which entails caring for you, praying for you, being there for you, fielding questions or concerns, spurring you on in the faith, being spurred on by you. Because it's a shepherd's job to know the condition of and care needed for the flock. And your elders here take that responsibility very seriously. And we aspire to faithfully carry that responsibility out in a way that is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to you. So what will this look like? This will involve at least one, if not more, okay, but at least one intentional face-to-face meeting with you. Okay, your assigned elder, staff member, or small group leader will personally meet with you at least once during the year to intentionally express care and love for you. Okay? And again, this involves asking about specific ways to pray for you, asking how your job is going if employed, how's your marriage, how your children, how's the parenting journey, how's your spiritual walk with the Lord, growing or not growing? Are you struggling with anything? Any questions? It's simply a way to intentionally love and care for you at a deeper level. To, again, actively and intimately shepherd the flock of which we have been called. You see, our desire is for you to thrive in the Christian life, not just survive. And one of the ways we are trying to help with that is through this shepherding plan I just mentioned. And Lord willing, we'll all feel and be fed, nurtured, and protected to the glory of God. So that is our commitment as the leadership of this church to you. Our commitment to component number one. Component number two is up to all of us on how we respond. How do we maintain a healthy local church body? Elders are to actively and intimately shepherd the flock. And the flock is to submit to their shepherd's leading. And Lord willing, Centerpoint Church will be a healthy, thriving church for many, many years to come, all for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways, both individually and corporately. And so we want to pause and just say thank you. Thank you for your word and for the conviction it brings and the encouragement it brings. May we not just be hearers of your word, but also doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen.